You are out of your mind. I was hiding a constant erection this entire movie.
Radio Drone.
Welcome to Radio Drone. I am Josh Hadley. With me, as always, is Cecil showed up this week.
I'm here.
Are you queer?
I am not queer.
Peter won't be joining us. He's having internet problems. But if you are queer, you don't have to be queer. You can be straight. You can be queer, whatever. Go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code DROME, D-R-O-M-E, and you will get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, a free Power O-ring, and free U.S. shipping. Just use the promo code DROME at adamandeve.com. That said, we're going to finish talking about the worst sequels of all time. Last week, we ended on Aliens vs. Predator Requiem, so let's pick up with the next one. Now, here's the weird part, Cecil. I know I've seen The Ring 2. I don't remember it at all. I'm looking at the cast and I'm like, Sissy Spacek was in this? Elizabeth Perkins? Gary Cole? I've seen this movie, but I don't remember it.
The biggest problem I had with The Ring 2, they instead of doing follow-up to The Ring, they really cribbed off of another J-horror called Dark Water. The Ring 2 really ends up feeling like more of a remake of Dark Water, even though we already had, I don't know what the time frame was, but I think we already had the remake of Dark Water.
Was that the one with Jennifer Connelly?
Yes, that was the one with Jennifer Connelly. The original Dark Water is a great, great, scary movie, but because they focused on all the, it sucked. And I would say it was the worst Ring sequel, but then I just saw Rings, and that is somehow worse. It's even worse.
I've been hearing nothing but bad things about that, man.
It's so bad. It's like, The Ring 2, it was bad, but at least, like, I was semi-invested in it. The Rings, there's just nothing, like, it's boring. And that is always my biggest thing, is like, that's the biggest sin a movie can commit, is be boring. Like, cause there's just no, once you lose your audience's attention, there's no getting it back.
Well, I want to say that this list is complete bullshit when they list Howling 2 Steerba Werewolf Bitch as one of the worst sequels. As we went into in the Howling retrospective, is it a good movie on a critical sense? No. Is it a fun movie in every realistic way? Yes.
Fucking normies. There's a bunch of the ones on this where I think they just were stretching because they needed 50 movies. Because there's so many that don't deserve to be on this list. And that's
Howling,
one of them.
Howling
that's,
2 is fantastic fun.
Oh, it's a ton of fun. I think a lot of people just, they forget that. You know, they'll just look at something on some weird merit scale. It's like, it's just, it's fun. It's goofy. It's entertaining. It's ridiculous. And, I don't know. I mean, did it veer way off from the original one? Yeah. But does that make it a bad movie? No.
It's got Reb Brown shooting werewolves with a shotgun while Christopher Lee wears punk rock glasses.
Yes, it's got a lot of good. It's got Sybil Danning repeatedly ripping her shirt open.
But okay, my bigger question then is, why is this on the list, but New Moon Rising is not?
Probably, I have a feeling that, maybe some of the Howling sequels might have monopolized the list. Cause there are ones that are bad. And was New Moon Rising, was that the reboot one?
No. New Moon Rising was the seventh one. That was the one that, the Old West Town.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That was the last one in the real franchise.
Eesh. It was
like, how is that not on this list? Come on.
Yeah, that one was a stinker. But that, you know, I mean, it's like the Corman and Full Moon movies where they kind of get to a point of diminishing returns where they've gone so far out that like the budgets keep getting smaller and they just keep trying to make the movies and they end up just getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, this next one, I know you and I are both going to be in agreement, should not be on this list, RoboCop 2.
RoboCop 2 should not be anywhere near this list. RoboCop 2
has problems, mainly structural and tonally, but it's a great movie.
I wouldn't even say that. I love RoboCop 2. I think it's an excellent movie. I don't think that there's any major issues with it that really would get it anywhere near this list. I think the big thing is that it's not, you know, it wasn't directed by Paul Verhoeven, but it was directed by Irvin Kershner. It's not like it was directed by like some rookie. And I mean, you had the same cast pretty much. It was that dark satirical tone, and I love RoboCop 2. It's a fantastic follow-up.
Well, when I say structural problems, and you know, we talked about this in our RoboCop retrospective, I mean things like it's very episodic. For a 2.5 hour movie, every 15 minutes it starts a new story that then ends 15 minutes later. There's only the barest thread of a flow through throughout the whole movie. You get from Frank Miller being a comic book writer, it's very episodic. It's difficult to see it as a complete film. It's more like a giant pilot for a season of RoboCop. When you watch it, it is very, very segmented. That's what I mean about structural problems.
I gotcha. I guess because I've seen it so many times and it all just kind of flows well with me. And I've seen incredibly worse. So I think it works.
I know a lot of people did not like how mean and nihilistic it was, because it was way more mean than the first film. And in a way, I appreciated that, but then it became emotionally manipulative when it wanted me to feel bad when Hobbs died. No movie, no.
No, I don't think it was that so much. I think it was just like, you know, here's this kid who was like kind of realizing, oh wait, this is what I've been doing all this time. This sucks, you know. So I don't know. I think that I don't think it was really manipulating you to feel bad for the kid. I think it was more just the realization of what the kid had been doing to everybody else.
Yeah, see, I looked at it the opposite, where he's doing all these evil things, and then, I don't want to die alone, and RoboCop holds his hand, and then the music swells like we're supposed to feel bad for Hobbs. Well, then we go on to, I haven't seen this one because I didn't like the first film, Jeepers Creepers 2. I did not like Jeepers Creepers, and I think Victor Silva can die in a f***ing pit of hell. I never saw the second film. Other than it being directed by a pedophile, and I can see from the trailer, lots of shirtless teenage boys and boys in their underwear in it. Disgusting piece of shit. Is it that bad of a movie since I've never seen this one?
I've only ever seen a little bit of it. And it's such a weird thing because I saw the original Jeepers Creepers and I liked it. I found out about Salva. Like, it was like, oh, that guy? It just really tainted the movie. And then when 2 came out, I watched like a little bit of it on cable, and I just couldn't get past. I'm like, I just can't. It's like this. There are certain things where you can separate the art from the artist, but like when you're seeing, like you said, you got a lot of shirtless teenage boys, and it, that in and of itself, I mean, that's not really an issue, but it's more an issue because you know where the director's coming from, so it makes it an issue. I can't say whether it's good or bad, and I get so many out of a lot of things. I have so many people that are like, you know, please do videos on Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2, and I write back, and I'm like, I can't support, you know, this guy, and I can't do these videos without talking about what he did in Dollhouse.
Clown House.
And people are like, I don't know what you mean. And then I get a response, oh my God! Like, they go and they, you know, hit his Wikipedia or something. And they're like, oh, I understand completely.
Well, 'cause
now.
That whole controversy came back up again when he started making Jeepers Creepers 3. He was shooting it in Canada. Canada has much stricter pedophile laws, even for when you get out of prison. The Canadian government started hassling him, and he was trying to play the victim. I did my time. Fuck you. You know what, Victor Silva? Fuck you.
Yeah.
I will never support a Jeepers Creepers movie specifically because he's involved.
That's my thing. I probably wouldn't watch the first one if I, you know, had known ahead of time. I mean, see, like I watched Powder and then, Jeepers Creepers. And then it, and that was when it kind of started coming up and it was like, oh, and then you go back and you look and you're like, oh God, especially Powder. It's so like, you're like, ew.
I remember Powder being very, very uncomfortable with the scene in the boys' locker room where all the teenage boys are in their underwear and you know the director is a convicted pedophile and you're like, you know what? No. Just
yeah.
No.
Yeah, because like not knowing I'm watching it and I'm like, all right, yeah, this is a little awkward, but whatever. And then you find out it's like, oh dear.
Let's move from pedophiles to prequels. This one technically is not a sequel. It's a prequel. Dumb and Dumberer When Harry Met Lloyd. Now, I wouldn't say this deserves to be on this list because Dumb and Dumber 2 was way worse. I actually laughed at a few parts in Dumb and Dumberer, and I'll be honest, the guy they got to play, I think it's Eric Christian Olsen to play Lloyd. He is fantastic as a young Jim Carrey. He was brilliant casting, and I got to see Mimi Rogers' two enormous talents in a bikini making out with a teenage girl, so that's points for me.
Yeah, I didn't think it was really all that bad. And like you said, Eric Christian Olsen, which is really funny because he is like a really like handsome guy. They did a very good job of giving him like the goofy haircut and making him look, you know, how Jim Carrey looked in the original. And, I think that, it may have been a shameless movie to do because they wanted to do the sequel. You know, they wanted to make another Dumb and Dumber, but at the time Jim Carrey didn't want to make one. And so they really forged ahead with another cast, which is always not really the best idea, but it worked. It was funny. Like, I mean, it wasn't great. It wasn't one of the best comedies ever, but
it's
like you.
It's light years above Dumb and Dumber 2 though.
Yeah, I laughed a few times. I've seen far worse.
Such as Teen Wolf 2, where we can't get Michael J. Fox, let's get Jason Bateman. Now, I'm not a fan of the first Teen Wolf. I don't think it's a bad movie, but I'm just not a fan of it. Teen Wolf 2 was unbearable. I remember catching this on cable one night, and I had to force myself to continue watching it. Teen Wolf 2 was really bad.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen it.
1987, and it's Teen Wolf T-O-O. How clever.
Yeah, all that typical nonsense. I always love that stuff.
Well, then we move on to, I thought Fletch was a great movie. I remember Fletch Lives being painfully unfunny. I don't know if it was Chevy Chase's timing was off, if it was the writing, but I remember Fletch Lives from 1989 just missing the point of the first 1985 Fletch.
Fletch Lives. It had a couple of moments that made you think back to the first one, but like, yeah, it did not have the cleverness of the first one. The timing just wasn't there. Yeah, it really just, it didn't work. Like, I didn't hate it. It wasn't quite that spitfire that the first one was. It felt like a sequel that they were doing because the first one did so well, but they really didn't want to do a sequel.
Just like The Rage, Carrie 2. I remember thinking, this is not a sequel. This is a really bad angsty remake. Now, I haven't seen it since it first came out in 99. I remember it basically being the exact same movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty close. I haven't seen it since 99. I remember liking it, like thinking it was, like, you know, not saying there was anything great, but I remember thinking it was okay. And, I think that, if memory serves, I think that they didn't make it as religious as the first one was. They didn't really do the religious angle quite as much. They played up her telekinetic powers a little bit more, so like some of the kids died in more elaborate ways instead of just the big finale. Yeah, it definitely was sequel, you know, what do they call it? A soft reboot. You know, it's supposed to be a sequel, but it's really a reboot. So it's, I think it's okay. I thought the girl that did it was, Emily Bergel. I don't know how you pronounce it. I thought she, like, did a good job in the role, at least. And Kat Shea directing, I thought that it at least looked decent. Yeah, it was just very much, a carbon copy of the first one as far as the entire structure with the exception of, some of the religious stuff.
of the Stephen King reboot, soft reboot sequels of this era, I gotta say, rather than Rage Carrie 2, I actually liked Firestarter Rekindled. Remember that 4-hour Sci-Fi Channel miniseries?
Oh yeah, well I really liked, I'm totally blanking on her name, but the girl who they got to play, you know, grown-up Drew Barrymore, I thought she handled it. She was a large part of why I enjoyed it. I thought that she did a very good job at that. And,
Dennis Hopper as a psychic? Come on.
Dennis Hopper is a psychic and wasn't, oh God.
Malcolm McDowell was the villain.
Thank you. Malcolm, I was trying totally blanking. Malcolm, I knew there was a big name in there. Yeah, Malcolm McDowell was the villain and I liked it. I thought that, it did not get, it got really, trashed and it was good. Pretty sure that that was a backdoor pilot too.
Oh yeah. That was one of my problems. The only real problem I had with it, other than some of the special effects being very TV, I started to think by like the third hour, this is an X-Men movie. You've got, got the psychic leader, you have the berserker, hairy guy, you've got the guy, the kid that can shoot out of his eyes, you've got, you know, you've got the telekinetic, you've got the one with the banshee scream. I'm like, the Sci-Fi Channel's trying to make a Stephen King X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
I know you liked the Piranha remake. I did not. And I never bothered to even see 3DD.
Okay, if you didn't like the first one, then you made the right choice of not watching this one. I liked it, but it's stupid. It's really stupid. But I enjoyed the shit out of it. I thought that it was just a lot of really, really bad, intentionally bad 3D stuff. Just it was just fun. I laughed a lot. There was a lot of stuff with Hasselhoff and just the way that the piranhas were eating people. And it's stupid, but I thought it was funny.
Well, nobody was laughing, although they weren't supposed to, in 1990 when Jack Nicholson both wrote and directed and starred in the sequel to Chinatown, The Two Jakes. Now, I haven't seen this movie in 25 years. I remember it obviously not being as good as Chinatown, but I don't remember it being a bad movie. It was just completely destroyed by the critics, and I'm like, okay, yes, it's not as good as Chinatown, but it's not a bad movie either. So then we go on to a movie, I don't think I've even seen the first film, let alone the sequel, National Lampoon's Van Wilder, The Rise of Taj, 2006.
Okay, the first Van Wilder is really funny, like genuinely a good, funny movie.
Isn't that Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, it was Ryan Reynolds, and it was Ryan Reynolds, like, that was the movie that really put him on the map, because he was being that spitfire, just funny, constantly talking, like, really, really clever, and it's a funny-ass movie. It's genuinely good. Taj was, he had needed an assistant in the movie, so he hired, you know, Taj, and Taj was Cal Penn, and his character ended up being really good. And then at the end of Van Wilder, the whole point of Van Wilder was that he needed to graduate. So at the end of Van Wilder, he graduated, and Cal Penn, I believe, was he was his first year student, so now he was going on to his second year. So he kind of took over for Van Wilder, because Van Wilder had all these things in place that he did because he was in college for like 10 years or something. He took over and it was funny. Like, I mean, it wasn't as good as Van Wilder, but it still had a lot of crass humor, and it had, as I'd found out because of the picture, it had Lauren Cohen, and she's using her like real accent in the movie. And I was back, you know, pre Walking Dead. So I had no idea who she was. I just thought that she was the pretty girl that was in this movie. And now I go back and look and I'm like, oh my God, it was Lauren Cohen all the way back 10 years ago. And it's
speaking
crazy.
Speaking with her
British accent, which, oh my God, dude, it is. I went back and watched like I'm like, I gotta see this. I went and watched the trailer and I hear her voice and I'm like, oh my God, her voice is awesome. But, it's good. Like I very, very highly recommend Van Wilder. And then if you end up liking Van Wilder, then I think that, Rise of Taj actually has a lot of like good follow-up jokes. It's not as good as the first movie, but I think that it's like one of the better direct-to-video sequels.
Well, you know what's not, even though it's not direct-to-video? Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. As a guy who hated the first film, I didn't even see this one in the theater. I rented it, and I nearly walked out when my son was watching this with me. After the two racist twins and Shia LaBeouf. No, 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 for the entire f***ing film, and just all the whip pans and the CGI, all these just components everywhere, and I don't know what the hell's happening. I was like, this is the definition of a horrendous piece of shit sequel.
Oh god, I forgot about the ghetto bots. They were the Skids and Mudflap. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen seriously is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And I've seen thousands of movies. The thing that I had found out, you know, after the movie came out, what a lot of people have since discovered, or the movie was started during the writer's strike. So they had no script. So what they did was they went out and they got the special effects guys to film a whole bunch of action sequences. And then after the writer's strike was done, they went to the writers and they said, okay, look, here's what we've shot so far. Make it work. And that's why at one point they're in like Washington and then they warp to Egypt. It's one of the most disjointed movies I've ever seen. It's irritating, overly CGI'd, like everything just looks so fake. I just hated it. It's even with riff tracks, it's hard to watch because it's
so long. Cecil, you and I have defended Michael Bay on many occasions. This is one where I cannot.
No, I won't defend him on any of the Transformers movies. I still think that he is a very good director, but for some reason with the Transformers movies, I don't know what happens. But for some reason with the Transformers movies, it's like he's just making, like he just ends up making shit. Like they've all been bad. This now, definitely is the worst, though.
Now, did you like Triple X?
Yeah, I thought it was silly, but it was fun. Oh my god, the new one is a live-action cartoon. It's hilarious.
I worked at a movie theater when the first Triple X came out, so I saw it numerous times in the theater. I think the first 45 minutes to the first hour of the first Triple X are pretty good. Then it just becomes a live-action cartoon in the second half of the movie. I never even gave Triple X State of the Union, the Ice Cube one, I never even gave that one a chance. Did you?
I did, and it's funny because like in the first movie and in the third movie, I mean, you've got Vin Diesel who is jacked. I mean, he is just like you have no problem believing that he's this like badass extreme sports guy that's going to go out and save the world, so to speak. But then they bring in Ice Cube. He's fat.
He's doughy.
He's doughy. And like, I'm like, all right, look, I'm sure that a lot of people are gonna get their ass beat, but like, he's running off the sides of buildings and flipping and kicking and doing all the, and I'm like, he would be so winded right now. Yeah. Give me a minute. Give me, I'll go come over there and whoop your ass. So like that, I mean, I'm not real, like, I think Ice Cube is better in comedies. Like, I like, you know, the Friday movies and stuff, and I think that he just has a better, he just appeals better in that. But in an action movie, it didn't work.
Well, we were speaking of Vin Diesel. F*** you, list. Chronicles of Riddick is awesome. That should not be on a worst sequels list. I loved Chronicles of Riddick. Well, okay, I loved the non-enhanced cut. All that crap with the Furian woman and the handprint is stupid as shit, but the theatrical cut was great.
Yeah, the Chronicles of Riddick should be nowhere near this list. Even if they were gonna say the enhanced version, it still doesn't deserve to be anywhere near this list. Chronicles of Riddick is awesome. They're stupid.
Okay, well, but then they redeem themselves with Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh. I remember despising this movie when it came out in 95.
I thought I saw it, but I don't know if I've actually seen it. I think I might have seen the third one, which is the one with the girl who used to be on Baywatch. The first one I love. The first one I think is great. And then, yeah, it's not that good.
Well, and then we go to, I know I'm on the outs here. I was not a fan of the original Jurassic Park. It just never wowed me. I mean, I don't hate it, but I do not like that movie. It doesn't do anything for me. I just remember The Lost World being really, really bad, though.
I love the first Jurassic Park. I think it is a phenomenal movie. But
you also like the third one, though.
Well, yeah, but not on the same level as the first one. I love the first one.
Alan.
Oh, it was a dream sequence. It was like a 5-second part of the movie. Calm down. But I mean, it wasn't like in this where the freaking daughter does gymnastics to kick the raptor out the window. It was horrible. They get the T-Rex like goes in the middle of town and runs around and they manage to chase it back to the back to the boat, but it doesn't like really, the worst thing it does is like eat the dog. Like it doesn't knock over any building. Ah, oh, it was terrible. It was just so bad.
I obviously, the original 1980 Blue Lagoon is not my kind of movie. I remember seeing Return of the Blue Lagoon and just laughing. And it's not a comedy. I remember Mila Jovovich being so out of her depth. I know this is one of her first films. I still don't think she's a good actress today. Her eyes are dead in this movie. She looks like she's struggling so hard to remember her dialogue half the time. She's embarrassing in Return to Blue Lagoon, man.
You are out of your mind. I was hiding a constant erection this entire movie.
Oh my god, this thing is such a neutered PG-13 tease movie, man.
She was so goddamn sexy in that.
I'm not talking about her sexy, she can't act.
She can act fine. You got like nipple slips every now and then, cause it was, it was still 1991 PG-13. They did, I think if they had gone R, they might have been able to push it a little bit further. Cause really, it's very similar to the original Blue Lagoon. It's kind of very, very similar story, very similar beats. But, I like this a lot better simply because it was Mila Jovovich. Like, it will get a pass from me every single time. Don't care, Mila.
All right. Well, now we discussed this one in our full retrospective. Poltergeist 2, The Other Side is pretty damn bad, honestly. It's a really poor follow-up. Although, weirdly enough, more people seem to hate Poltergeist 3, which all of us agreed is actually a pretty good sequel.
Yeah, it's kind of funny with that. Like, I've noticed that recently, because Shout Factory or Scream Factory, they put, you know, Poltergeist 2 and 3 out. And you have all these people that are like, you know, Poltergeist 2 is worth revisiting, but don't bother with 3. And I'm like, why not? Like,
wait, 3 has some really good ideas in it.
3 had some really good ideas in it. And I think that they're both worth revisiting. But I think that 3 is definitely the better of the two of them. You know, what do we know?
We're only film fans, right?
Right.
I'm divided on this next one, Exorcist II: The Heretic. Now, here's why I'm divided. The movie is god-awful, and it's a god-awful follow-up to the original 1973 Exorcist. But Exorcist II: The Heretic is one of the most gorgeous films I have ever seen in my entire life. The cinematography, the lighting, the camera movement, the sets. This movie is so gorgeous. Almost forgive how terrible the content actually is.
I have not seen it in so long. I don't really remember much of anything about it. And I'd like
to
revisit
it. It's beautiful. Take my word for it. It's gorgeously shot. They just forgot to write the damn thing.
Yeah, I've been meaning to go back and check out, I want to run through all the Exorcist movies.
Trust me, for Halloween, we'll be doing that this year.
Oh, well, then there we go. And I can just
we'll be doing that later this year, all of them, and unfortunately, at least the pilot of the TV series. Well, then we go to, I haven't seen this one. I liked the original Wall Street. Never bothered with the 2010 Money Never Sleeps. Possibly because revisiting a film 30 years later is never a good idea, but also, I really don't like Shia LaBeouf.
Shelliber.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, I avoided it. I could give a shit.
Here's something we talked about a while ago when they first announced the X-Files coming back to TV. We discussed how the X-Files was very much encompassing the zeitgeist of the early 1990s and how it kind of lost its cultural relevance by the late 1990s. The first, you know, Fight the Future movie was not good. It had good moments in it, but it was not a good movie. I Want to Believe from 2008 was downright embarrassingly bad.
All right, you're mad. Fight the Future was good. I liked Fight the Future a lot. I Want to Believe, I should call it the I Want to Revisit, because at the time when I saw it, I had, like, it had been a while since I watched anything X-Files related, and so kind of coming into it, like, so removed from the series, I kind of felt like I was coming into, like, the middle of, like, a show, like, and trying to figure things out. So I think that it was kind of a mess, but I am more than happy to give it another shot. I really, really want to check it out again.
Now, this next one, I don't like, but I know you do. So does The Fly 2 deserve to be on this list? Because personally, I didn't like the original Cronenberg Fly, and this one just did nothing for me.
This absolutely does not deserve to be on here, because I liked that they managed to be able to do a sequel to the original one, but do things like fresh, do it innovative. They were creative about it, and they didn't just redo the first movie. So, I mean, it had parts that were similar, but it was different. I mean, they still had these really awesome practical effects. They had the thing with the dog, which is just heartbreaking, and like some really amazing set pieces in this that just were great. And I mean, I love The Fly too. I mean, is it as good as the original Cronenberg one? No, but like there's a lot of good going on here. And I think that it got thrown under the bus because it's like, oh well, you know, it's not Cronenberg and it's not, you know, it doesn't have the Oscar winning special effects. And I'm like, effects are still amazing in this. Like it's not even like a bad movie. This is just a damn good movie.
Okay, well, you mentioned when we were talking about Ice Cube Friday. I didn't hate Friday, but I didn't like the movie. Never bothered to see Next Friday in 2000.
It's all right. I mean,
it's aight.
It's aight. The first one I think is like genuinely funny, and it's a movie that I didn't expect to like, kind of like House Party. Like, I didn't think I was going to like House Party, and I thought House Party was funny. So Friday I didn't think I was going to like, but Friday it was funny. And, it's a lot of the cast is really good, and, it even has Chris Tucker, who I can't stand, but, I don't know if he came back for the second one. He was in the first one and he was like,
he's not on the cast list. Are you thinking about Mike Epps maybe instead?
Maybe. I don't remember that because it's been a while since I've seen the second one, because I just would watch the first one. You know, Chris Tucker, I can't stand him, but he worked in the first one, but every other movie I've seen him in, he's basically just trying to recapture that whole thing with the first movie, and he was annoying. And, it's not good, but, I remember it being like okay. I remember it being not as funny, and I've only like seen it once, so.
When the Harrison Ford's Fugitive came out, I remember watching the old TV show with my mom growing up, and I remember that movie, it not being a great movie, but it was a decent movie, but easily, and I'm not saying Harrison Ford did a bad job, okay? That movie was stolen by Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones owned that Fugitive movie. So it's not a surprise they gave him a spin-off sequel of U.S. Marshals. But I remember kind of going, all right, now we know his character doesn't work on his own, though. Because I remember U.S. Marshals being, frankly, boring.
I thought it was okay. I thought it had... my biggest problem with U.S. Marshals was that it was the same movie. You know, instead of...
It was just Wesley Snipes this time.
Yeah, it was Wesley Snipes, and it wasn't the one-armed man, but Wesley Snipes got framed. Tommy Lee Jones, he even has a similar, like, I want to search every doghouse, hen house, outhouse. Like, he had a very similar speech in this one. And there was also a big sequence where, like, in the first one, in The Fugitive, where Harrison Ford jumped off of the waterfall. In this, there was a very, I don't remember what it was, but I just remember there being similar sequence in that where he like jumped away, or he got away just in time, and was there an explosion or something? It was really, really, really similar. So I didn't think it was like a terrible movie, but it's like if you watch The Fugitive and then if you watched U.S. Marshals, you're like, wow, these are the same movie pretty much.
I don't know if I can say that for Weekend at Bernie's too. I never gave this one a try. On a conceptual level, I'm just going, how does this even work, considering the first film?
I can explain how the second one works. Voodoo. It's really stupid.
When we come to our next one, I never saw this sequel, but this has one of the dumbest titles. Okay, if I hadn't seen A Haunting in Connecticut, Ghosts of Alabama or Mississippi or whatever that sequel was that literally changes the state in its own title, The Last Exorcism Part 2. I thought The Last Exorcism was The Last Exorcism. How is there a Part 2? F*** you.
Well, you know, it's like any, you know, final, at last, you know, any movie that has that in there, they're going to throw the thing in. So I only saw the first one. I haven't seen the second one, so I can't say. But I wasn't crazy about the first one, so that's why I didn't really watch the second one.
I remember seeing The Sting 2 in 83. I think I saw it before I saw the original Sting, so maybe that's why I didn't like it. But the fact that it makes lots of worse sequel lists leads me to believe, no, it just wasn't a good movie. I wasn't a big fan of Young Guns. I'll admit, I really liked Young Guns too. I liked Christian Slater, and Lou Diamond Phillips was badass in this, and Kiefer, and you got Balthazar Getty, and Viggo Mortensen, and William Peterson, and I remember Bon Jovi gets killed in it, and I just actually remember Young Guns 2 being decent. Am I weird?
No, I liked Young Guns 1 and 2, and I'm not really even crazy about Westerns. I think they're enjoyable. I mean, I don't go out of my way to, you know, I watched them both once and liked them, and that's about it for me.
You know what movie I grew up watching, and I knew it wasn't as good as the original. I remember enjoying it as a kid, and then I watched it again before I did a projection booth on Conan the Barbarian with Mike White. Conan the Destroyer is way worse than I remember it being. My God, everything in Conan the Destroyer is wrong. The tone, the humor, the violence, the special effects, the acting, the characters. This was a complete, you know what? F*** that first movie.
I had seen Conan the Destroyer repeatedly before I saw the original Conan. So I mean, yes, the original Conan is the superior movie, but I have a soft spot for Conan the Destroyer. I mean, the cast, you got Wilt Chamberlain, Grace Jones, Mako, Olivia Dabo, you know.
I actually thought Grace Jones was the most grating thing of this. Even with, you know, his weird sidekick character, quote, comic relief, Grace Jones, who I don't think is bad in everything. She's been fantastic in some roles. She was grating on me. I couldn't believe how much I fucking hated her character in this movie.
I don't know. I got a soft spot for Grace Jones. There's just something weird about her.
The special effects are so
bad. The monster at the end with the Halloween mask on.
The mirror monster. You can literally see where the mask ends and the actor's neck begins. And I'm like, come on, guys. You had like $20 million.
Yeah, I think
What the hell happened?
I think 15 of it went to Arnold.
Maybe, because it was like, yeah, this was really, really bad. I remember the effects just pissing me off. And then, I'm not a fan of the first Taken. Never saw any of the sequels. Taken 2?
Taken 1 I love. I think Taken 1 is, or just Taken is great. I love that movie. And, that made my wife fall in love with Liam Neeson. Taken 2, I like parts of it. But it really, again, like a lot of these ones, it was kind of the same movie. Yeah, it was like,
wasn't it rushed out?
I pretty much, because the first one, they didn't really anticipate being a hit. They put it in January, it was a dump. And then they were like, oh crap, it did really well. We need to do a sequel. So yeah, they really, really rushed the second one out. It just was not anywhere near as good. It was okay. Coming off of how awesome the first one was, and this one was just kind of like weak.
Again, did not like the original, but Honey, I Shrunk the Kids didn't do anything for me. I was too old at the time it came out. It was not my kind of movie, but I do remember catching Honey, I Blew Up the Kid on cable once and went, what the fuck was that?
I love Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I really think that, it's funny, it's clever, the effects are great. I really, really love the first movie. And I have never had any desire to see Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
We'll be doing a Police Academy retrospective. I said it last year, but hopefully this year we'll get around to it. Police Academy 2 is on this list? First of all, it's the best of all of the Police Academy sequels, but really? 2 is on this list? But 6 and 7 are not?
They probably never got past 2.
2 is actually funny, and you know what? 2 is a 1985 PG-13. I rewatched this about a year and a half ago. I couldn't believe how graphic this was for a PG-13 movie.
Oh yeah, I mean, well the Police Academy movies in general were all, like, fairly, like, racy. You know, even when they went to PG-13. I mean, they later got...
Well, this is the only PG-13 one. After that, they're all PG.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was the first one was R, the second one was PG-13, and then all the rest were PG.
I mean, I like it. I think that... I have a soft spot for all the Police Academy movies. They're stupid, and they're funny, and I don't know. I enjoy that kind of humor.
I don't understand how two, you know, it's like with The Howling. If you guys have noticed on this list, which we're going from complex.com, every one of the sequels they list are the more mainstream ones. I bet whoever compiled this list would go, there are more Howling movies after two? There's more Police Academy films? Yeah, there are, and they're way worse than the ones you listed.
Yeah, they're so worse. Like, they're so bad, even Steve Guttenberg left.
Yeah, Steve Guttenberg was too good for the sequels.
And well, and we talked about this last week. They put Clerks 2 on here. Just f*** yourself. Like,
yeah, Clerks, I mean, it's not as good as the first one, but it was a really enjoyable film.
It is a fantastic follow-up to, like, a very, very, very famous cult movie. Like, doing a sequel to that was hard, and I think that he managed to pull it off really well.
See, what I'm wondering is, why are some real, honest, bad sequels not on this? Like, Nightmare on Elm Street Part, whatever New Nightmare is that 7? That was terrible!
Might have been 6. Yeah, New Nightmare was terrible.
No, because 6 is the one with the 3D at the end. That's the one where Alice Cooper's is
dead. Oh, right. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So New Nightmare must be 7. Because New Nightmare was god-awful.
And where is Highlander 2? I don't remember Highlander 2 being on this list.
Highlander 2 should not be on this list unless Highlander the Source is.
Well, I mean, look, we're talking, because I had a few people that were like, how come you guys didn't talk about Highlander 2? And I'm like, well, we were going over just a list, you know, using that as a structure. And I said, and honestly, we've badmouthed Highlander 2 quite a few times over the years, so.
But at least Highlander 2 looks great.
Highlander 2 does look great, but story-wise, it's just such a disaster.
There are so many ridiculously bad sequels, like, have you ever seen Extro 3?
Mm-hmm. Well, see,
that's horrible!
Well, the thing is, again, as I said a while ago, this is a list for normies. This is a bunch of mainstream movies, and then the mainstream movies had the direct-to-video sequel. So that's as far as they got. They were like, oh, well, Howling, you know, is a classic horror film. Well, here's the sequel, the direct-to-video sequel, and it's obviously terrible. Instead of going down the list and going like, oh, God, well, you know, really, 2 is bad, but 7, well, you know, bad, quote-unquote, but 7 is the one that's really bad, you know. They're gonna hit all because I mean, if you look at this, it's all like the immediate sequel.
Almost all of them are part twos.
Hills Have Eyes Part 2, Too Fast, Too Furious, Blues Brothers 2000, Grease 2, Hills Have Eyes 2. It's all the second one. They never got past the second one. When a lot of times with a lot of sequels, like, the second one is never the-
Any horror franchise that goes past 3, they're probably, any direct-to-video horror franchise, like, I dare you to sit through any of the later witchcraft movies.
They're porn. They're borderline porn at that point. I remember
Not even good porn though.
Oh, they're bad porn. Like I remember, I put one on and, I'm flipping channels and I'm like, oh, there's, I don't remember her name, but there was like some girl who I'd seen in like a bunch of softcore movies. And I'm like, oh, she's in, what is this? A heart? What is it? I'm like, oh God, this is softcore porn. It's supposed to be like a witchcraft movie. I mean, they weren't even like, they weren't even trying to hide it. There was a scene where, the girl was walking down the road. I think it might have been Witchcraft 6. And she's walking down the road and she had just escaped from a hospital and she's wearing like the hospital gown. So it's open in the back and all you see is her ass and she's walking down the street in slow motion. And this dude is walking behind her and he's hypnotized by her ass. Like, this is funny, but this is also terrible.
I'll be honest about this. Why is American Werewolf in Paris not on this list?
I
think The Howling is a better film, but I do really like American Werewolf in London. Paris was a goddamn hate to that movie. That was an insult.
Well, I think the thing with Paris was that it was the tip. It was what happened and still happening. They filmed it with practical effects and somebody in the special effects or somebody in the studio was like, oh, we're good, dude, CGI. And then they went in and they did, the werewolf CGI.
Horrible CGI.
And they looked bad. I mean, I've seen, I have one of the imports and it has, some additional scenes on there where, there was the werewolves that were not CG. It looks good. And it's like, why didn't you do this movie? Because it would have been, like, I still think that it wouldn't have held up as much as the original, anywhere near the original. But I think that in general, it probably would have been appreciated a little bit better. But again.
Where are Transfers 4 and 5 on this list? Transfers 4 and 5 are unwatchably bad. I don't even count 6 as a real Transfers movie, otherwise I'd say that one too.
Well, again, you know, you're thinking that the people have even heard of Transfers, you know?
The first three Transfers are really good.
Oh, the first three Transfers are fantastic. But I'm saying that the guy that wrote this list, he probably doesn't even know who Tim Thomerson is.
That is sad. Because it just, there are truly bad sequels out there. And this list, one of the reasons I used it was, it shows the disconnect between not only how many of these that we said, no, screw you, this was a good sequel, it's so arguably mainstream. I mean, even though things like The Howling 2 and that aren't necessarily mainstream movies, they're mainstream enough that the franchise is known out there. We should actually put together some list of real bad sequels from the exploitation sci-fi world, like Carnosaur 3.
Yeah, I think we should do that, because we could come up with some genuinely bad movies. I mean, like Extro 3 and Carnosaur 3.
Death Race 2050.
I have not seen it yet, but I have not been hearing good things.
Phantasm Ravager deserves to be on this list.
I have
Phantasm Ravager was, that movie, there's no way it cost $300,000. That movie cost $30,000 and the rest went into Coscarelli's pocket. Cause I have seen movies with a quarter of that budget not look like a goddamn YouTube video. That whole movie looked like a YouTube video. Next week, we're going to look at the best sequels ever made. We're going to be making our list for the best sequels, because there are movies I'm looking forward to. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic that Blade Runner 2 is going to be good. Sorry, Blade Runner 2049. I'm cautiously optimistic that that's going to be good. The realist in me is going, probably going to hate it, though.
I don't know. There's a part of me that I think I'm probably just going to avoid it. I can't see how they're going to be able to just recapture the original one. There's been movies where, like with Independence Day, there was a distance between it, but it's like the first one.
That's a bad sequel too, yeah.
Oh, it was a terrible sequel. But the thing was, the original one I love. I think it's a fun, big, explodey movie. So when they did the sequel to that, it's not like one of the most like important, I guess you could say, films.
But to be fair, it's not 1996 anymore. They made that sequel as if it were still 1996 when it was going to be coming out.
Right, but that's the thing, which, like, it might have worked in 1996, but now it doesn't, and it just comes off just really bad. And I didn't hate it, but it was just very disappointing because it was so many just bad cliched moments and really.
You couldn't even get a good Hemsworth, for God's sake.
Yeah, they couldn't even get the good Hemsworth. They got the faux Hemsworth. They got his brother.
Come on, that's the equivalent of getting Frank Stallone to star in the Rocky reboot.
Right, there you go. Couldn't even get Thor. What's wrong with you?
Are you Thor? No, but I will be tomorrow. On that note, where can we find Cecil?
You can find me at goodbadflix.com, as well as escapistmagazine.com and Facebook, Twitter, goodbadflix. I'm tired. I'm always tired.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Guys, keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold. Have a good night.
Sanctify this place. Protect us from evil. Behold the power of the night. Shine, that we may see the light. Curse the filthy hypocrites. Crawl into their beds at night. ooze from slimy depths below. Scream into their frozen brains. Work thy wretched breath. Remove all obstacles from our path. I command that these things of which I speak will come to be.
Radiodrome is a 1201 Beyond production. Find it and other great content at 1201beyond.com.